All right, well, good morning, church. As you might have guessed from the slide, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've already talked about the Holy Spirit because we remember that back in John chapter 14, Jesus mentioned the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we'd spend the time talking about the Holy Spirit at that time, but we're going to focus today on one aspect specifically of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Truth. This is the way John refers to the Holy Spirit as three times in the Gospel of John, once in 1 John, I think. He refers to him as the Spirit of Truth. And I think that there's nothing more important today than having the discernment to understand what is true, right? Understand what the truth of God's Word is and how that applies to your life and how your life should reflect that. But also how your life having that discernment in you, because you have the Holy Spirit within you, affects everything that you should do. All right, so let's read John 16. I'm going to read the first 15 verses. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you speak this to us. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit speak this to us, that the Spirit speak this into our hearts, and that we have ears to hear, and that we have eyes to see. There is nothing more important than this time that we live in right now to have a spirit of discernment, to have a spirit of truth leading us and guiding us. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given this to us, that it lives within us. So we pray, Lord, that we'll continue to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Truth. Truth is one of my favorite topics. It's also one of John's favorite topics. As I said, when we first mentioned the Spirit of Truth, is that John talks about truth more than any of the other authors of the New Testament. But truth has never been more important than it is today. Because today we live in a time of great deception. And we don't even have to go very far. All we have to do is turn on the news, read a newspaper. Brave, if you're brave enough, to venture out into social media. Get on your social media apps. You need a spirit of discernment to understand what is true, to understand what's a lie, to understand what's been manipulated, how you're being deceived. You need truth for all this. Truth has never been needed more, and yet I feel that we live in a time where truth has never been more neglected. We live in a time where most people are willing to turn away from what is true to believe what's a lie. The world's turned its back on truth, the truth of the gospel for sure, because that's the main truth. That's the truth that everyone needs to know, is the truth of the gospel. It's the saving truth. It has to do with your salvation, right? It sets you free from bondage, the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what everyone needs to know. And from that flows the truth of everything else, because once you have given your life to Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit, and then you have the Spirit of Truth. And many of you probably can testify to this, but you can testify about how your lives were before Christ and after Christ, and how when you became a Christian, your eyes were opened to things. Things that you had been deceived by before, previous, now you saw them for what they truly were. Because you're seeing things with the Spirit of truth. You have the Holy Spirit. But we live in a world today where truth has become relative and everybody has their own truth. And you can't even call truth relative because that, I won't even get into it. I mean, the definition of truth is that it's absolute. You can't say truth is relative because that's not truth. But they do. I think it was Oprah who said, speaking your truth is the most powerful tool you have. And of course, we all know Oprah's a false prophet. But speaking your truth is problematic, really, because the odds are, you know, you're not speaking the truth. You're just speaking your truth, and your truth could be completely wrong, right? And more than likely, it is completely wrong unless your truth is actually the truth of God's word. Because if you're speaking the truth of God's word, then therefore you're speaking the truth. But otherwise, if you're just speaking your truth, it's wrong, more than likely. So the world's bought into that lie. And I'm not just talking about politics, though. Obviously, that's what we're talking about today because we've entered the season, right? But I'm not just talking about politics. So that's a big part of it. But in general, the world's bought into a demonic lie concerning truth. It says in 1 John, as we have said before, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Right? Who's the evil one? Well, he's the father of lies. Who's the father of lies? Well, we're talking about Satan. If the whole world lies in the power of Satan, then the whole world is being deceived. Right? There's a quote by Winston Churchill, supposedly. Some people attribute it to all kinds, you know, it's the internet. You could probably find the same quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln and, you know, Elon Musk and whoever, right? But it's a quote who I think it was said by Winston Churchill that says, a lie gets halfway around the world before truth has a chance to get its pants on. Right? And there is truth in that statement because especially today, especially within the last, I don't know, what has it been, month or so, month and a half, news, everything's been inundated with nothing but falsehoods. And truth hasn't even got its pants on yet. It's like, you know, because you're just overwhelmed now with all this social media lies. And why do lies travel faster than truth? Well, as Catherine Dunn puts it, lies are tastier. Right? Lies, the nature of a lie is to please, and people like that. They like to be pleased. And truth, well, truth has no concern about anyone's comfort. It doesn't. It does not. I agree with that. Truth may make you uncomfortable. Right? Truth is hard to swallow. It rubs people the wrong way. When Jesus spoke truth, guess what people did? People left. There were those who specifically told Jesus, we read about this as we've been going through the Gospel of John, he would speak truth and they would say, that's really tough for us to wrap our head around. I don't get it. That's hard for us. Those sayings are hard. Those are hard sayings. And what they do, they left. Right? So it rubs people the wrong way. They find it hard to accept. And when they find it hard to accept, what do people do? Well, they turn to their own truth. That's what they do, right? As it tells us, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, for a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. I'm telling you, that time is here, right? It was coming for them. It's here now. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, which is a lot of times themselves, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And we're seeing it. Specifically, let's keep it context, you know, the context within the gospel, specifically within the church. Right? We're seeing it as churches wander away from the gospel and start teaching more myths than anything else. Well, people do that because truth is not concerned about your comfort. It's not here to make you comfortable. Matter of fact, truth would rather have you be squirming in your seats than have you comfortable. And that discomfort causes people to wander off and fall away. But here's the thing that we need to understand. Just because truth can make you uncomfortable and is not concerned about your comfort, it does not mean the one who is speaking truth to you isn't. Right? Because Jesus was concerned about those he was speaking truth to. And he was concerned about speaking truth and having his disciples understand the truth, which is why he's telling them this here in the Gospel of John. He starts off right here in chapter 16 in verse 1, and he says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. So first of all these things, what's he referring to? Pretty much everything he has said since we started this discourse back in chapter 13. All the things that he has said, right? We're at the Last Supper. This is this sort of final message. Right? They're in the upper room. This is sort of his final message to his disciples before he's arrested and crucified. The disciples don't know what's coming. Jesus knows what's coming. He's preparing them. And because they're upset and their hearts are troubled, right? Do not let your hearts be troubled. How many times did he have to tell them that? Everything that he's telling them is troubling them, right? He started off with, one of you is going to betray me. They don't know who he's talking about. We know who he's talking about, right? Hindsight's 20/20. We know who he's talking about. We have the word. We know who it is. They don't know who it is. So they're like, you know, pointing fingers at each other, whispering, who is it? Oh my goodness, right? Who is it? So they're troubled by that. Of course they are troubled by that. And then he says, and I have to leave and you can't come with me. Well, that's troubling to them as well. So they're troubled by all these things. So everything that we've been talking about since we hit John 13 up to now, this is what he's talking about. When he says all these things, right? I've said all these things to you. This is what he's referring to, right? What else has he told them? He's told them that he's going to prepare a place for them. He's going to bring them to him, right? Reference to the rapture. Also, he's told them that he's going to be sending them the Holy Spirit. So he's been encouraging them, right? Why? Because he has compassion. Because he's concerned for them. Yes, truth can make you uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't concerned for you. He is concerned, and he's concerned for them. So he's telling them these things out of concern. They were worried and troubled, and he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to comfort them. He's preparing them for the fact that he is going to leave. He's preparing them for what they don't even know is going to happen yet, which is his crucifixion. He's preparing them for all this. And now he says, all of this that I've told you, everything up to this point, is so that you won't fall away. Right? So what does that mean? Right? He says, I want to keep you from falling away. What does it mean to fall away? Well, in the Greek, that word means to stumble. It's the Greek word scandalizo, which is where we get the word scandalize or scandal. Right? But in the Greek, it can mean stumble. It can mean become entrapped. It can mean be tripped up. It can be made to fall down. So the question is, of course, is why would the disciples fall away or be stumbled? Why would they fall down over what Jesus has told them? Right? He's telling them this stuff so they won't do that, but why would that happen? Because everything that they thought was true, which is true, is going to come into question as soon as Jesus gets arrested and crucified. They're going to think, was he the Messiah after all? Wait, everything we thought about him, was it real? He wasn't supposed to be arrested and crucified. This isn't how we had things planned out. This isn't how it was supposed to go. Everything that they thought was true, which is true, mind you, it is true. Remember, Peter said, right, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Peter told that to Jesus. Jesus said, amen, Peter, right? To paraphrase, that's basically what he said. Amen, Peter, you're right. Right? Man didn't tell that to you. You're right. They're not wrong in what they believe in Jesus. They're not wrong at all, but it's all going to come into question. They're all going to start having doubts about things as soon as he's arrested and crucified. Absolutely. Right? I mean, if that doesn't shake your faith, what will? Right? I mean, that would trip you up, would it not? That might cause you to stumble and fall, would it not? If for 3 years you've been hanging around with the Messiah, and then the Messiah gets arrested and crucified? If we're being honest, we've probably questioned our faith for far less. There's lots of things that come into our lives that test our faith, that cause us to stumble, that could cause us to fall away, right? But Jesus wants you to be encouraged and comforted and let you know that the Spirit of truth is coming. The Holy Spirit. He has to go away for a reason. There's a reason for what he has to do, and it has to do with us. We need the Holy Spirit. We're attached to God. Remember, the true vine, we're the branch. We need to be, right, attached to the true vine. Jesus has already told them that the world hates them, right? Because it hated Jesus, so therefore it hates them. And now he tells them here in verse 2, for example, right? You're going to be put out of the synagogues. And listen how he phrases this. I don't want you to miss this. He says, they will put you out of the synagogues, right? Which may not have bothered them too much. And then he says, indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. Notice he doesn't say whoever may kill you possibly. Whoever may threaten you. He says, whoever kills you. He's almost stating that as a matter of fact. You're going to be killed by someone who's thinking that they're doing the work of God, which is what he's referring to religious leaders, right? The persecution that's going to come from the Jewish leaders because they thought they were doing the work of God. Jesus already told them who they actually worked for, which was the father of lies. Your father is Satan. Your father is the father of lies. You don't accept me, so therefore you don't accept God. Right? If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. So you can imagine all this is running through their heads. And they're probably thinking, this supper is really sort of a bummer. Can we talk about something encouraging? Come on, Jesus, tell a joke or something. But it is actually encouraging. And then Jesus continues on. He says, they're going to do these things to you because they don't know me. And this is something that we truly need to understand. And I think we probably, for the most part, understand this. But those who hate you and those who persecute you and those who may even want to kill you, right? They do this because they don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They're ignorant to the truth of Jesus. And in some ways, we should honestly not even expect them to act differently because they don't know Jesus. When we see some of the hateful things and some of the stuff, the comments that are thrown our way as Christians and for our beliefs and for what we stand for, we shouldn't really expect anything different because those who are saying those things to us don't know Jesus. It's one thing if they knew Jesus and they're saying those things. It's another thing if they don't know Jesus at all. They're completely ignorant of the truth. They don't believe in it. Right? So they're deaf and blind. They're ignorant to the word. They're ignorant to the truth. I mean, they're ignorant to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But so with that, they don't understand you, and they're going to misunderstand you, and they just don't get it. So he's telling them, listen, the world just doesn't get you guys because they don't know the truth. They just don't know the truth. So put that a little sticky note to put up on your mirror. Right? Something for you to keep in your brain. The reason people hate you or persecute you for your faith is because you stand for the truth of God's word. You stand for Jesus. And they don't know the truth. They just don't know it. They've rejected it. They're ignorant of it. Right? It says they're ignorant of the truth. For us in Christ, that's our former ignorance. We were there one time, so we should be able to understand. That's our former ignorance, is what the Bible says. 1 John 4:6 says that we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Who has the spirit of truth? We do. Who has the spirit of error? The world. Right? We're following the spirit of truth. They're following the spirit of error. They don't know the truth. So we should be aware of that. Right, we should be aware of what it says in Romans 10, that those who are ignorant of the righteousness of God, therefore don't submit to the righteousness of God, no surprise there, and they just try to do what? They try to establish their own righteousness. What's that? That's a spirit of error. That's following a spirit of error. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Right? To be able to discern the things of God, you have to have the Spirit of God. And you don't have the Spirit of God until you are in Christ. If we go down to verse 7, Jesus says them this, tells them this. He says, nevertheless, you could even read this, don't worry. be encouraged. Right? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Right? Yes, all these bad things are on the horizon. But nevertheless, I'm going to tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go, I can't send the helper. And you need the helper. You need the Spirit of God. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit of truth. You need the Spirit of truth. Right? Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. But that's not all he's going to do. Obviously. Right? It tells us that when he comes, he's going to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Right? It says that he's going to convict them concerning sin because they do not believe in Jesus. Right? It's the sin of unbelief. They do not believe in Jesus. It says he's going to convict them concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you're going to see me no longer. What does that mean? It means that the presence of the Holy Spirit in the world today is proof positive that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. That's what it means. Right? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, that says, but when Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. They can't argue about the righteousness of Jesus because he's gone to be with the Father. He's at the right hand of God. And they're going to be convicted because of that. And how are they going to be convicted because of that? What is proof positive of that? Is that the Holy Spirit is convicting them. That's proof positive. And then they're also, and also what that tells us is very simple. And he goes on, that's what the third thing he's talking about is concerning judgment. All right? Going to convict you concerning judgment as well. Because Jesus is at the right hand of God. And as we just read, he's waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. So it's also going to be convicted concerning judgment, which means the ruler of this world is judged. See, Satan's a defeated loser. Right? God wins. Most of us here have read the end of the book. We know how it finishes up. It's sometimes, I won't even say sometimes, a lot of the times, most of the times, I don't know, pick your percentage, 75, 80%, we lose sight of that. We lose sight of that fact. Because it's so oppressive with everything that we're going through sometimes, we lose sight of the fact that, hey, listen, the Bible already tells us God wins. It's over. We should have faith and then stand firm and be encouraged by the fact that we know that he's already given it to us ahead of time so that our faith won't be shaken and so that we won't fall away, right? John 12, 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the rule of this world be cast out. Satan will be cast out. God wins. So for the disciples at this time, without even knowing what's coming, discerning the truth has never been more important for them. They're really going to need it. As they go out into the world, and it's the beginnings of the early church, and they're going out, and they're going to be planting churches and spreading the gospels and going on all these missions and trips and stuff like that. They're going to be hated. Like I said, like the world hates you. Not everyone that you go and love, going to love one another. Not everyone that you love is going to love you back. And they're going to be chased out of towns. So they're going to be stoned and left for dead, right? Riots are going to break out. There's all kinds of things that are going to happen. And everything that they do, they're probably going to have times of doubt and have times of question. And Jesus is saying, I've told you all this ahead of time. I'm giving you all this information now so you will not fall away. That you will stay true to the course, right? And you will continue doing my work. You need the Holy Spirit. I need to go so you can have the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit of truth will lead you in the way of in all truth. Right? You're going to need this wisdom. You're going to need this discernment more than you even understand right now, he's telling them. Because without the Holy Spirit, we're blind and weak, and we fall away, and we stumble. That's the truth. Right? On our own power, with our own wisdom, following our own desires, however you want to put it, without the Holy Spirit, We fall away, we stumble, we're blind, and we're weak. But with the Holy Spirit, our weaknesses can become strength, our blindness becomes sight when we have God. Right? We need the Holy Spirit because we easily forget God's promises and we often don't understand His word. We get confused just like everybody else does. We have those times where we're in the valley and not on the mountaintops. Right? And even though we've read God's promises a million times, when we're in those moments, we forget them. What was that thing you said? I don't remember. All is doomed. Right? And that's it. It only takes one thing for us to break sometimes. It only takes little things. Jesus said, I'm telling these things to you so that when the hour comes and you go through this stuff, you'll remember that I said it. Who's going to help us remember? The Holy Spirit is, which is why he needs to go, so we can have the Holy Spirit, so that we can remember these things as we go through those trials. Because we easily forget his promises. We don't understand his words. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just going through the motions, right? Probably relying on our own feelings, right? We're trusting our heart. Oh, yes, let's trust our heart in all matters. Such a good thing to do, having those emotional blind spots. What is Jeremiah 17:9 says? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Quit trusting your heart. Trust God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit because the world is against us. And not just the world. Sometimes it feels like our neighbors are against us. Sometimes it feels like other people who are professing Christians are against us. Because they don't want to stand for the same things you stand for. They have different views on things. There are many Christians who profess to be Christian, but yet their hearts are far from God. That's an entirely different matter. We have cultural Christianity is another religion. So we need the Holy Spirit. We are dependent on God. Well, which is why we have to abide in God. Because without God, without the Holy Spirit, without the joy and the peace and the encouragement that comes through the Holy Spirit, you get depressed. Do you not? Depression becomes a reality. Has anyone ever suffered from depression? Has it ever been the serious thing that you've gone through or maybe struggle with today? Depression becomes a reality in your life. It overcomes the actual truth of God's word sometimes when we take our eyes off God's promises and try to rely on things like our own heart, for example. Lies overshadow the truth. So there are many out there now who are following these lies, and they've devoted themselves to deceitful spirits and to the teachings of demons, as it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Right? It says that latter times they will depart from the faith and go and devote themselves to these things. How? Why? How could someone who was supposedly who has faith in Christ depart from that and devote themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons? How could that happen? Well, it happens through lies. Happens through deception. It happens through not following the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and not listening to the Holy Spirit's work in you. Right? There's a lot of deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Very prevalent. So deep out there, you need to wear hip waders. Right? Abortion is health care. There's one. Gender reassignment surgery and hormone replacement therapy. Health care. No, that's another lie. The baby in the womb isn't a human being. Oh, there's another lie. These are all deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Men can be women. Women can be men. Right? Your children should be raised by the government. No, my children will not be raised by the government. Right? Communism and socialism are better than democracy. Really? Prove that to me. I don't think it's ever worked out for any country that adopted that. Burning down businesses and cities is just peaceful protesting. Really? No, no. Yes, I understand that certain political parties think that way. Or party, not plural. Right? Eventually, it's going to be the speaking of God's word is considered hate speech. Right? Teaching of demons and deceitful spirits. Evil is good, good is evil. Anti-Semitism. No, not racism, because it's the Jews. Right? Oh, that's not racism, it's the Jews. It's okay to be anti-Semitic. They're the oppressors. Oh, give me a break. Right? Study your history. Read your Bible. It's lies. It's lies. And it's lies a lot of people are falling for. And it's lies a lot of Christians have fallen for. But it's lies that did not stand up against the word of God. It can't. And if our truth is to be defined by God's word, and we're being led in the truth, and the Spirit of truth is only going to lead you into the truth of God's word, and you can't walk opposite of it and claim that you're following God. You can't. And that's an uncomfortable truth for a lot of people. That makes people squirm in their seats, right? But it's through deceptions and lies like that, and we're not even going through the entire list, obviously, we can't. But it's through deception and lies like that that people fall away, and they turn away. So the application of this for us is really simple. Right? Just as the disciples would soon be in desperate need of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so that they would not fall away, we too desperately need the Spirit of truth as well for the exact same reason. We do. Ephesians 4:14 says that we shouldn't be tossed around like children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, right? By craftiness and deceitful schemes. That's what these things do. But we're not to be tossed around like that. We're no longer to be children. We're being tossed around like that. Well, how can we not be tossed around like that? How can we not be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning? A lot of those winds are demonic doctrines, right? By craftiness and deceitful schemes. Right here. Because we have to stay true to God's word and follow God and let His Holy Spirit lead us. We have never lived in a time of greater deception and lies. Never. This is going to be a whole separate teaching we're probably going to do on this. We've never lived in a time, right, of greater deceit. If there was ever a time that our faith would be put to a test, stretched to its limits, that time is now. The Bible tells us that many are going to fall away, which is why Jesus is telling them, I'm giving this to you ahead of time so that you will not. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about all of those who put their faith in me. I don't want them to fall away. 2 Thessalonians, let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come, referring to the second coming or even the rapture, depending on how you read it, unless the apostasy comes first. That's what the Greek word, apostasy. In the ESV, it translates it rebellion. And it is a rebellion, because if you're turning away from God, you're rebelling against God. Right? But apostasy, the whole book of Hebrews is addressed in apostasy. There will be a falling away. It's going to happen. A lot of people who have their faith in Jesus, or at least claim to have their faith in Jesus, are going to fall away from the faith. Because they're not actually following the leading of the Holy Spirit. They don't actually, their heart is not rooted in the gospel. And when people fall away, trust me, they take other people with them. Just like when a building falls, you know, it's very hard to maintain taking down a building without damaging other buildings around it. And there are people who are experts at figuring out how to do that type of implosion or whatever, to take down a building without damaging other buildings. But when people fall away, they take other people with them. So don't be deceived, right? Don't turn away from listening to the truth. Don't turn away from God's word. Stand firm, endure, hold tight. Now is the time to hold tight, right? Thankfully, we have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. That's Jesus. But here's the thing. This is why I'm kind of adamant about truth myself. It's a quote by C.S. Lewis. And it says, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you." That's how it feels to me. That's how it feels to me. It's a matter of life and death now. This is where it's gotten to. Right? The truth of God's word is a matter of life and death, and that's what's at stake. What is at stake right now, this hour, this minute, right now? Let me tell you a story. This is a true one. And it has to do with the documentary that we're going to be showing at noon. The organization that put together the documentary is called the White Rose Resistance. The White Rose Resistance has been around actually since 1943, I think, something like that. But the reason, I think it's Seth Gruber, the reason he picked that name was is he read the history of the White Rose Resistance and said, I want to honor what they did with what I do now. So that's why he picked the name. And within the White Rose Resistance, there was this 21-year-old girl whose name was Sophie. And I don't think I wrote her last name down. I should have, but I forgot. And she's really, historically, one of the lesser-known heroes, okay, that come from Germany during World War II. So she's one of the people who formed this White Rose Resistance. It was a small collective of Christian students. She wanted to become, I believe, a teacher. So she was in college in Germany. So it was this small collective of Christian students who secretly wrote and printed and distributed literature all around Germany. Doing what? Criticizing the Nazis and inspiring people to resist the Nazis. Why was she motivated to do this? Because she was a Christian. And her faith motivated her to stand up for what was true. So she and a bunch of students did this. She didn't think it was necessarily brave or necessarily an exceptional thing. She felt it was something that needed to be done. She had to do it. Right? She was just living out her Christianity. This is how it was. This is the truth of it. She wrote it this way. She said, "We are Christian and we are German. Therefore, we are responsible as Christians for Germany." It would have been nice if more Germans felt that same thing. So on February 18th of 1943, she and her brother were walking the halls of the University of Munich, and they were placing hundreds of these illegal leaflets, because they were illegal for her to do this, right, out in the school halls and everything like that. And the bell rang, and she shoved an entire stack of leaflets from the third floor balcony down to the atrium. It's like, poosh, right? And the janitor caught her, arrested her and her brother, and they were sentenced to death by the guillotine. She had a meeting next week to meet with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's how the word of their resistance had spread. But she was so courageous, and not only that, but so calm after they arrested her, that those who arrested her were disturbed by the fact that she was so at peace with things. Right? Matter of fact, they relaxed the rules so that she and her brother could meet with their parents one last time before they were executed because she was so calm about things. "We don't understand why you're more upset, so I guess we'll let you meet your parents before we kill you." Her mother's final words to her were, "Remember Jesus, Sophie." And she replied to her mom, "You too, Mama." And so they killed her. They beheaded her and her brother on February 22nd, 1943. Her final words before she was murdered was, "The sun still shines." Listen, the work we do is greater than us. Our ministry, our life, living out our life for the glory of God, it's greater than us. Because it's not for us, it's for God. The work is God's. And if we want to do God's work, which we should want to do, then we need to let His Spirit lead us. Right? The Spirit of truth. We need to be led into truth. It's that simple. And the Holy Spirit teaches us truth. The mission of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to do what? It's to glorify Jesus. So our lives should be glorifying Jesus as we stand for the truth and as we live out our Christianity. Right? Listen, the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Why? We need the Spirit. And yes, the battle is a spiritual one. Absolutely. More than we realize. But that doesn't mean you don't have work to do. As we see from that example about Sophie living out her Christianity by speaking out against Nazism while going to college in Germany that got her executed. So keep your hand to the plow. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if you're hearers only, what are you doing? James tells us you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. There are many who have heard the word, but they never act on it. Right, who keep silent and refuse to speak up. For many today, the truth is just what they hear and see on TikTok and Google. Unfortunately, you can't type in something on Google and expect to get the truth back. Because they're purposely, right? They're government-controlled media. They're purposely changing things. Right? And you can't expect to see the truth on the news because all the mainstream news outlets are also controlled by the government, for the most part. But a lot of people, truth is just what they hear and see. And we've talked about this before, but here's the thing. Seeing is not believing, especially today. Right? When everything and everyone can be deepfaked, AI'd, hologram, you know, whatever. With the technology that's available today, right in my Photoshop on my computer, I can put anything in a picture and make it look realistic that I want to do. I use AI in a lot of these things that I create for the slides on the thing. It's just been in the news this week because they took a picture of Kamala Harris and on the plane and she's arriving and coming down the gangplanks and there's like hundreds of thousands of people out there and they ran it through the software and said 98% of that picture is AI. None of those people, hardly any of those people were out there. So you can't believe or anything you see because they're modifying it deceptively on purpose. And they actually went and took the reflections in the plane so you could see that none of the people were in the reflections of the plane. Like, okay, well, that was what was modified, not the people. They were actually okay. And then this becomes, this story goes back and forth, right? People are lying about this, lying about that, lying about their service. You know, you can't believe things. So what are you to believe if you just go by sight and sound? I mean, if you can be convinced by what you see or hear, you can be deceived by what you see or hear as well. That's not what seeing is, not believing. Which is why we need help discerning the truth. Because there is only one truth. There isn't another truth. Galatians is clear on that. Right? There is no, we have our truth and you have your truth. That doesn't work. Because there is only one truth. There is only one gospel. There is only one Jesus. And any other one is just a perversion or a distortion of the truth. So we have to stand in and stand for the truth. We have to stand for Jesus. And I just want to end with this. I am not going to stop speaking the truth. God has impressed upon me the urgency of the hour in which we live. Right? And that the truth is going to make you uncomfortable. Again, truth is not concerned about your comfort. That doesn't mean I'm not concerned for you. But truth is not concerned for your comfort. So at the risk of even coming to an empty church on a Sunday, I'm not going to stop speaking. because truth is a matter of life and death. Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. And that's what we need to stand on and follow. Let's end with this verse, Jude chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, from falling away, from tripping up, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word. And I pray, Lord, that you will just work this out in our lives, that you will just continue to impress upon us the need that we have for you and how we need to abide in you and how we need to hold on to you, Lord. And I pray we do. Now is the time where we need to hold on. More than ever, we need to hold on. So I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to stand firm in the truth, continue to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, be a light in the darkness, and proclaim the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.